Hey readers, several historical romance authors, including me, are giving books away. You'll want to check out the link in this blog post and discover new summer reads, and then share that link with other readers like you. I also put this link in today's newsletter as well, so if you are subscribed to our newsletter, you'll get a link in there that you can easily click on and scroll through the many, many books in this giveaway. I do want to note that not all the books are Christian romance. However, you can pick and choose which books you get. And hopefully you've already picked up My Unwavering Faith. At least I've got the first 9 chapters out there for you. And if not, you can get access to that through the link for this giveaway as well. So go ahead and check that link out, and happy and blessed reading. Our next Coffee and Books event will be on June 8th from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join authors Julie Lessman, Misty M. Beller, and Lynn Shannon for a fun Q&A. This is a free event. You just need to register to save your spot by clicking the link in this blog post or visiting literaryscape.com/events. And authors, I'm excited to offer you many options to enjoy the benefits of being an HCRW member. We now have 3 tiers of support. The first tier is the Aspiring membership for just $3 a month. With this membership, you can connect with other authors of historical Christian romance on our private Facebook group page and join us for our monthly live Q&A sessions. The second tier is the foundational membership for just $12 a month. In this tier, you get everything in the Aspiring membership plus access to the HCRW Resource Library, which houses all our training videos. The third tier is our established membership for just $37 a month. Enjoy all the benefits of the foundational membership plus twice a month critique meetings and free access to all expert trainings. You can learn more and become a member today for just $3 a month at literaryscape.com/HCRW. I cannot wait to work with you as you join our amazing community of historical Christian romance writers. And one final announcement. Next Friday will be the last book club episode until we come back from summer vacation in August. You can keep up with us throughout the summer by joining our newsletter list at literaryscape.com/newsletter. I hope you all enjoy a safe and relaxing summer break. Now let's jump into this week's book discussion.
As the only doctor in the frontier town of Savage Wells, Gideon McNamara knows his prospects for a bride are limited. The women folk in town are either too young, too old, or already spoken for. So being a practical man, he decides to take advantage of the matchmaking service of the day, mail order brides, and sends away for a woman with nursing experience. When Miriam steps off the stagecoach in Savage Wells, she sees a bright future in front of her. But when the town and Gideon meets her, ready for a wedding, her excitement quickly turns to horror. Somehow, Dr. McNamara's message had gotten turned around. He didn't want just a nurse, he wanted a wife. When she refuses to marry him, she finds herself stranded in Savage Wells with some very unhappy townspeople. But Gideon is not like the other men Miriam has met. Embarrassed by the misunderstanding, he offers her a job, and the two begin an awkward and often humorous dance of getting to know each other as they work to care for the people of their town. Romance blossoms between the two, but when a former medical associate of Miriam's arrives in town, Gideon and the other townsfolk must rally around Miriam to protect her from a dangerous fate. Gideon and Miriam must decide if they are willing to risk their hearts for each other, even as buried secrets are brought to light.
Ooh. I love it. It was a good one. My favorite one of the series, for sure. And I don't know why that is. I think it's because it's such a tender love story, don't you think? Would you classify it that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would. Yeah.
Because she's got a lot of baggage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has like the healing to her heart.
Yeah.
Which is, and he's so good with her heart. He takes such good care of her. All right. So let's dive in. Would your reaction have been the same as Miriam if you had arrived in town expecting to accept a job, but your employer thought he was getting a mail order bride?
I would have ran towards the train, like, and hopped back on it. That would have been a little scary.
Yeah, I'd have been close, but I would have liked to think that I would have at least looked at, like, hey, Gideon, can I talk to you by yourself for a minute? Mm-hmm. Like, this is not, I mean, at least maybe tried to.
But she just ran, right?
I feel like she tried to, like, she asked some questions and yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's borderline, because I know I reread it when I was looking over the questions. Mm-hmm. I did reread it and I'm like, I don't know, I might have run too, but I think she did try it. Like, she said, no, what am I here for? Like, a wedding? Whose wedding? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I would have been, yes, I think I would have been like you, like, I need to explain, like, this isn't what I was expecting. Yeah. This is what I was told. And what did you think about Gideon's reaction to it? Because the poor man, this is not the first time he's been left at the altar.
I love Gideon.
He's such a sweet man.
I don't understand it. I adore him. Mm-hmm. He is so kind-hearted and.
And what did you think about his reaction to it, though? I mean, he ends up like contacting the agency and being like, "You misled her. He was not happy with what had happened to her," which I really appreciated that part.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by the way the townspeople treated her after she ran away from the wedding?
No. It makes you love Gideon even more, because, like, his initial reaction, he's like, well, you might as well go ahead and eat. And he seems really kind-hearted about it, just like he wasn't mad at her, mm-hmm. which he didn't really have a reason to be. But I would think he'd be upset, like, having been there before. Mm-hmm. But then the townsfolk, they love Gideon so much. And knowing that, it's almost like they reacted how you maybe expected Gideon to react.
I think it's because this town is so, they're very much protect their own.
Yeah.
And they saw that he had been hurt.
Yeah.
And wanted to protect him. And so mm-hmm. they just were so unkind to her, though, at first.
Yeah, they didn't really trust her. It was mm-hmm. surprising to a point.
They're like so close. Yeah. Little family. Mm-hmm. Hard to accept outsiders, especially one that rejected one of their
Absolutely.
Own.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they are all like, he's a really great man.
You don't know what you're missing.
I doubt that, but I didn't come here to get married.
Yeah.
I came here for a job. So, all right. Many of the characters from Sheriffs of Savage Wells play important roles in this story. What were your thoughts on the role they played and the changes in their characters? So I feel like Tansy and Andrew especially have grown since we met them in Savage Wells. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on those two?
I love those two. I love them. I love them even more. Just, I just keep thinking about Tansy. Mm-hmm. I can't think of.
Tansy, I mean, she's still her like aloof person, you know, but mm-hmm. she's
friendlier.
She comes around more.
Yeah.
She plays a pretty big role in helping Miriam mm-hmm. at one point. And she's smart. She knows that the people that are dangerous to her are right there. And she has a way of contacting, you know what I mean?
That's why I stopped. So I'm like, I don't know how to talk about that part without giving anything away. But it's
basically, she uses her tea.
She uses her personality,
her personality, yeah. and the fact that she actually has cows and that Gideon does do work with the cows.
And Gideon even believes her. He believes her for a
minute. Yeah. He's like, fine, I will come look at your cow, you know, just to get him to marry him, mm-hmm. which is what he wanted in the first place. But I thought, wow, because I have to admit, when we first met Tansy in Savage Wells, I thought, I think she might be a little slow, because remember, she grew up with moonshiners, and so she just continues to act as if she's selling moonshine, but everybody knows it's just sweet tea. So, you know, it made me think she's probably a little on the slow side, but then she does this and I'm like, she's quite cunning, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she just likes to play. I say play, but she likes to put up the front of Because even the person who's like a danger to Miriam is, well, there's two people in town that are mm-hmm. a danger to her that come to town. Like they don't even count Tansy as a threat because they think the woman is mm-hmm. not all there. Yep. So I thought she played that up really well. And then Andrew, my word, he's gone from being so...
like so, a recluse?
Yeah, like he had such bad PTSD that he sat in a tree all the time. Yeah,
he's out of the tree. Like, out of the tree. He's out of the tree. Like, and he's huge.
Functioning, and mm-hmm. he's... And I love Cade for pouring into him and being like, man, I've been there, I know this. Like, mm-hmm. let me give you something to do. And that he has actual work where he goes, you can still keep watch. That was mm-hmm. his thing. That's why he was in a tree. He's, I have to keep watch over everybody that, you know, mm-hmm. have to keep everybody safe. So mm-hmm. I thought he did a great job. What were your thoughts on Gideon's parents?
Kind of like the McNamara.
I can't ever say their name, right? I can't say the last name.
McNamara. So hospitable and warm and welcoming.
Mm-hmm. And his mom, like, even her behavior, like, she's protective of her son. Mm-hmm. It's almost you expect it because of Gideon's personality. And then mm-hmm. the dad's the soft one. It's just, they were cute.
They were. And I loved how they stepped in and were like, oh, no, we will. Mm-hmm. Because they're like high society. And so mm-hmm. they use that high society to protect and help.
Yep. Miriam. We're going to fight our way.
Yeah. That's right. We know how to do this. She's like, all right, son, get your best clothes on. Yep. We're going to play it like this. And I thought they did a really good job. Did you enjoy the relationship with Miriam? Oh, I'm sorry, that Miriam had formed with Rupert, little Rupert.
Oh, yes.
He was her first friend. Mm-hmm. Because everybody in town was like, you didn't, you rejected our doctor, you know, like.
Yeah.
They weren't very nice. I loved it. I thought it was so sweet. And then were you able to figure out what Miriam's condition was before it was revealed?
Not really. I knew something was up with it. I don't know. It was like process, like, because in your mind, you're going through like, what could this be? Like, what are they talking about?
I don't want to give it away.
And there's only so many things that fit, mm-hmm. but yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
And did you think like, because of that, people thought, like, that's true back then. Like, anybody that had that condition, they were considered that they were possessed or
were not in control of their faculties.
Yes. And so they had to go into the asylum. And then, so that turns around to say, I mean, what did you think about her family then? And what they did to her?
I hated her family. Like, that's so strong. That's so horrible. I mean, it's ignorance. They didn't understand. They didn't know. But even as they're telling the story, like the dad, the main motivation, it never seemed to be that he was just ignorant and didn't know how to, like, he says he didn't know how to help her. He does say that, mm-hmm. but it's like, you, that's your kid. And you literally were afraid of what she would make you look like. Mm-hmm. Like that's where your love for her ended. And you sent her away. I can't imagine doing that to my kids.
Yeah. It's because they were high society and it was all about this reflects mm-hmm. poorly on us. So we just shoved her away.
Yep.
She's gone. Nobody has to know she's connected to us. Yeah. It was really sad. So when you hear the word asylum, what comes to your mind first?
A straitjacket. I don't know. I mean, that's horrible, but I mean, that's mm-hmm. like you think back then. I don't know. When I thought asylum back then, mm-hmm. I'm thinking like a horrible hospital where they didn't know how to help people and
without windows and padded rooms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always think of when we did the tour of the old asylum, like down at the IU building, like in nursing school, we had to do a tour down there. And
you did.
Yeah. Like it was closed, but like, it just looked scary. Like,
I think creepy
and torturous. And
that's what I think. Yes. For sure. I think torture. I don't really, I've never been in an active asylum. I assume that things are better now, but I still feel like terrible things happen in there. And I feel bad if there's really not, but it's just, I think it's just probably the way it's portrayed on TV too. Right.
That
And then they make haunted houses. Asylum.
Yeah.
You know, they have.
I was just like, ooh, creepy. creepy. All right. Did the laws at the time and the diagnosis of certain conditions surprise you?
No.
Because remember, only her closest living male relative could have her committed. So that's where, you know, Gideon's like, then let me marry you and I'll keep them from putting you in. But then they said, because she was already declared insane, he wasn't allowed to marry her, which I'm like, they really had laws governing this back then. I felt like there was more freedom back then than we have now. Isn't that crazy? And the.
Yeah, there were certain ones. Like, what?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, everybody has that now.
I know. Oh, especially for women.
For like, women, yeah.
If you.
That's becoming more.
Like, yes.
People actually talk about it now. Before then, you didn't talk.
Right, but some of the things they diagnosed as insane for women, it wasn't.
Insanity.
It was just hormone related. It was.
Yeah.
The things they went through, I'm like, are you serious? Like, most anymore, it's like, take a mile and lay down. You know, like, you'll be over this in like 7 days.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, they're just, it was so different. It was so crazy. So then women held a lot more in back then. Didn't let a lot show. What were your thoughts on Dr. Blackburn and Miriam's dad? We kind of talked about Miriam's dad a little bit. So let's talk about Blackburn.
He is a sadist, I believe. In my mind, he is just evil.
Mm-hmm.
He's just flat out evil.
And the way he like pretends to be so wonderful. Oh, let me stay and help you with this outbreak that you guys have. And, you know, I just want what's best. I'm just protecting. And you're experimenting on human beings and then killing them.
Yep.
Like, that is just, ugh.
Yeah, the manipulation and just the no remorse, like almost satisfaction in what he was doing. He didn't care.
He got pleasure out of it.
Yeah.
And there are people like that. That's what's so sad. I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around it.
Ugh, he's a sadist.
Yeah. So let's talk on a happier note about Miriam and Gideon's relationship. Did you enjoy the journey of their love story? And were there any scenes with the two of them that you enjoyed the most?
I did. And I think the cello scene when she's in the room, like he knew what his roses and chocolates would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I don't know. It warmed your heart.
Yeah. He played the cello for her to help her just be calm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it.
Like knowing that he was giving up one of his secrets. Like it was almost like a surrender. Like I'm here with you. Like let's.
Yeah. And she didn't even have to come out. He was just going to play until she was okay, which I thought was really sweet. I also loved when he finally goes out to Tansy's farm and discovers
the cow.
The cow. Won't give it away. I thought that was super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Super sweet. But also because Gideon, before in this series, he's not an aggressive person. But his protectiveness came out with her, with Miriam. And I loved seeing that in him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's capable of getting aggressive if he needs to be to protect the ones he loves, but generally he's that quiet one, you know, gentle, but he is a doctor, so you know, he's all about healing. Not causing injuries. But anyways, all right, so how would you rate the following elements of Healing Hearts? The romance level.
Mocha.
Yeah, they have more what I call tender moments, not like your steamy, real flirtatious stuff that you got with Paisley and Cade. What about the suspense?
Mocha.
I feel mocha too, because I feel like all the way through you're trying to figure out who's hunting her.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on? That probably adds into the mystery too, but what about the action?
Mocha. Because there's not really a lot of action threat, like the end. I don't know.
I'd probably go espresso because you're right. I think it's all held at the end and it's not like
But it's so good, though. That's where I struggle, because it's all at the end. But
yeah,
like, I read a lot of different genres, uh-huh. all kinds of, even this is, but the end of this book
yeah.
is probably my favorite, like, of oh, all yeah. books. Like, the one, like, the end, the 10. Oh,
well, we don't want to give away nope. the ending.
So I'm just saying, like, of all the books I read, like, the ending of this book is probably my favorite. So
yeah.
you have to read this book. Like, it's amazing. It is. Doesn't matter good. What you read, you're going to like it, I think.
It is my favorite of this series, for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. What about the mystery level?
Mocha.
Did you go yeah. mocha or a latte?
Go.
Go mocha.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the drama?
I mean, it starts off with the wedding. It doesn't Hi. Happen, so.
Yeah, I'd probably say mocha.
Mocha, yeah.
Inspiration? It's probably espresso. Yeah. It's good. It is a good book. I would agree. I liked it even better than Sheriffs of Savage Wells, and I really enjoyed that yeah. one. What is your overall lasso rating of Healing Hearts by Sarah M. Eden?
3.
You guys went 3, yeah. Yep. I'm going to go 3. I really enjoyed it.
I yeah, really love this series.
It was yeah. awesome.
Okay, I'll put 3 or 4. Okay. Awesome. Okay, so there's only one more book left in this series, and it came out just this past year.
Yep.
I feel like in 2023.
Last summer.
We finally get Hawk's story, which I am so excited. I've really liked Hawk. He came in during Healing Hearts. And at the end, you're like, he deserves a love of his own. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would like to invite you to connect with us further and get a free read. Right now, if you sign up for our newsletter, you will get the first 9 chapters of my book, Unwavering Faith. Plus, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.